Good afternoon. This is the conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the GVS First Half 2025 Results Web Call. All participants are in listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Massimo Scagliarini, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and good morning to everybody, and welcome to the first half result presentation of the GVS Group. So a quick highlight on the number. The title for this slide is related to the second quarter of this year because we reached our record EBITDA since 2021. And I would like to remember that in 2021, we were still under the effect of the COVID pandemic. So it's a very nice sign of the track that we are following and a confirmation of the discipline that we have in improving our profitability. Healthcare Life Science, plus 2.2. We are a little bit disappointed by this result. Besides being a positive growth, and so this is really good, we are a little bit disappointed. And this is because we have been affected by a disruption in production by Evonetics that have stopped production for nearly 1 month, and so this have impacted our sales in the second quarter. Plus, we have a legacy of two big customer of Hemotronic in the hemodialysis sector, where we do some third-party work, and besides this not being a very profitable business, is super volatile and is affecting our revenue. But not profit, because as I say, it's not impacting this side. But anyway, Guido will give you more details later on these topics. And just to add another point, anyway, we are working on our strategic plan for the next 3 years, and we will address also this point in our strategic plan. Safety, a nice plus 8.6. Very positive, accelerating in the second quarter, and a nice view for the second half. Adjusted EBITDA 25.1, so 90 bps versus 2024, and again with a wonderful second quarter of 26.2, 120 bps versus Q2 24. So we are moving in the right direction in terms of profitability. Adjusted net income plus 16.2% versus previous year, 26.2 million, increasing the margin from 12.1 versus 10.5 of the first half of the last year. Net financial position, 268 million, with a leverage ratio after merger and acquisition of 2.4. Now, some more detail. In reality, I have already spent a lot of words in the first slide. Again, Healthcare Life Science, plus 2.2. In reality, and again, Guido will give you some more hint on this, but if I extract just the old core business of MedTech, we have a growth that is, correct me, Guido, is more than 5% on the MedTech just in this area. So this, why I mention this, because it's a very nice sign that the market is finally moving in the right direction. So we're very positive on this. Energy mobility, minus 8.5%. I will not spend comment on this. Everybody knows the status of the market. So I will move to the safety, where we have the 8.6 that I mentioned before, with an acceleration on the second quarter and a nice view for the second half. Adjusted EBITDA, plus 4.1% at 54.2 million, with a 25.1 margin for the first half. Net financial position 268 after with a leverage ratio of 2.4 after the M&A activity. Now I will give the speech to Guido for some other details.
Let's move now to slide number four to comment the evolution of sales in the first half of 2025. So compared to the first half of 2024, the revenues are up 1.7% excluding the FX impact. So we had a negative FX impact of approximately 1.4% of 2.9 million euro. And this has been more than compensated by growth both in volumes, 0.9 million euro or 0.4%, and at 2.8 million euro, equal to 1.3% growth in price. If you go to type the following slide, let's see and let's comment the various trend of different divisions, starting from healthcare and life science. Healthcare and life science reported a 2.2% growth, excluding FX. And as Massimo mentioned, it's worth highlighting two different factors that impacted on the performance of the division in the first half of the year. The first is transfusion medicine. Massimo already anticipated that we had 1 month block in Haemonetics plant production. And due to this stop, we lost approximately 1 month of revenues in the quarter. So approximately 4 million euro of impact. And this created a sizable order backlog that we plan to reabsorb in the second half of the year as our order portfolio remain very solid. And in addition of that, the completion of the transfer of the production machinery from Haemonetics Tijuana plant to our plant in Mexico that is expected to be completed by Q3 2025 will help to stabilize this situation. Moving to MedTech, we have this negative 1.5% performance excluding effects. But as Massimo mentioned, this is affected by a sharp decline of a specific business. And this is a contract manufacturing of hemodialysis lines that we have in place with two large US customers. It's a legacy from a Hemotronic acquisition. This business is low margin, is not strategic for us, and has been, it has experienced a very high volatility in the last 18 months. In first half 2025, the volumes are down approximately 30% compared to the first half of 2024. So this translating to an impact of negative impact of 5 million euro. So net of this impact, the MedTech division is growing 3.5% in the first half. So there is a 5% difference from that is linked to this dialysis business. That means that our core high margin MedTech business, so the filters, the components, is growing nicely. And it's an important message that we wanted to highlight in this presentation. Please also note that in full year 2024, we had already a negative impact of this dialysis business. There was approximately 5 million euro in the year, so 3% impact versus 2023. And it was again related to this business, to these two customers. And this decline in revenue is not linked to a specific dynamics of the underlying sector because the US dialysis volumes, if you also look at the reporting of the listed player, are flattish, basically. But so this effect is rather a very client-specific dynamic because both customers have internal production capacity and our contract manufacturing only covers the quantity that they don't produce internally. So we consider this business not core. We are now assessing in the context, as Massimo said, in the context of the new strategic plan, how we want to handle this business going forward. So moving to safety now, I mean, a very strong performance, in particular in the second quarter. So we had a strong acceleration in second quarter of sales. Excluding effects in second quarter, we reported a plus 13.8 growth in revenue from the 3.1% of the first quarter. And so, I mean, we expect this trend to continue in the second part of the year, while the energy mobility basically had the same trend recorded in first half and is down on the first quarter and is down in the first half 8.5%. And now I leave the floor to Marco to comment the EBITDA.
Thank you, Guido. Hello, everybody. Three slides on the financials now. The first one is on the adjusted EBITDA. EBITDA in the first half of 24 was 52 million. Now we are at 54.2. So we are improving by 2.2 million euros. The main reason being net price. So we increase pricing by 1.3% year on year. And the amount is 2.8 million euros. Then FX is a negative, slightly negative, half a million. It's driven by the trend of the dollar, which fell down by 1% year on year against the euro. And a slight negative impact is also generated by the Chinese currency going down by 2% against the euro. As for the volumes, volume mix, all in all, it's around zero. Guido already told us a lot about that. And then you see on the right side of the slide, other is 0.1, so negligible. It's the impact of the change, the tariffs is there. The impact has been 350k euros in the first half. In the meantime, we have increased pricing to offset that. Starting from the 1st of July, we increased pricing in order to compensate an assumed tariff increase of 10%. So in July, the impact of the tariff was zero. If we assume now from August onwards a 15% tariff, this would translate into a deterioration of our EBITDA of 400k in the second half, which means in the end the same impact as in the first half. So anyway, the impact of the tariffs is not so significant thanks to the pricing, to further pricing we are implementing in the second part of the year. As for the EBITDA margin, already highlighted by Massimo, we are increasing by 90 points year over year. Already said by Massimo, the strongest quarter since the Q4 2021. Let me say also that in Q1 2025, so last quarter, the EBITDA margin was 24.1. And in the second quarter of the current year, we are improving versus the first quarter, the EBITDA margin by 210 BPS. Now I move to the next slide. You see on the right side of the slide, the adjusted net income, which is excluding the FX impact related to the intercompany loans in dollars, which funded their M&A over the past few years. You see in absolute terms from 22.5 last year to 26.2. In the end, just to keep it short, the adjusted net income on net revenues is 12% roughly, which means that we convert into ordinary cash 12% of our revenues. And then my third slide is on the net financial position. You see, last year we closed with 219.8, let's say around 220 million. We went to 275 at the end of Q1, and now we are improving versus Q1 by 7 million. Now we are at 268. You see that on the bottom part of the slide there are two rectangles. The first is highlighting the extraordinary impact generated by M&A, the acquisition at mid-January, 49.4, and the extraordinary CapEx 5.6, which are the extraordinary investments for the new plants in the UK and China. If we set aside the extraordinary effects, we have generated in the first half around 7 million euros ordinary cash. This is less than we did last year, because last year over the first 6 months we generated 15 million euros. And why from 15 we went to 7? Because you see net working capital deterioration in the first 6 months, 17.5. Let me explain that. Around 4 million euros is due to the fact that we have anticipated the payment of the variable pay from July to June, so it's 4 million, and we are recovering all that in the second half. Then 8 million is due to the stock not related to the acquisition, so it's related to the old perimeter, 8 million, and I bet that we are recovering that by October. And then 4 million, the remaining around 4 million is due to receivables, and our target is to recover around 50% of that in the second half of the year. So just to say that the negative impact of the working capital is temporary. So we are going to recover almost everything in the second half of the year, which translates into an ordinary cash generated in the second half of around 40 million euros. The 40 million euros we are going to generate in the second part of the year is not including the impact of the buyback, which is expected not higher than 20 million euros, so it's going to be between 10 and 20 million euros. And also the 40 million euros I mentioned is not including extraordinary capex for the last portion of the investments for the move into the new plants in the UK and China, and capex also related to the acquisition we made at the beginning of the year. And so we are confirming, excluding the buyback, a leverage ratio of around 2 at the end of the year. Now I give the floor to Massimo for the conclusions.
Thank you. Okay, quick outlook to what will happen in the second half. So as we mentioned, 350k, roughly what we paid on the first half for the tariff impact. In reality, we have already negotiated the price increase with all our customers, so we are expecting to recover this on the second half. And, of course, this will help also the revenue, because a price increase will improve the first line. World Blood, very nice order portfolio. We need to be quick in transferring all the production from Haemonetics facility to our facility, so that we will be in full control of the production, and we can accelerate and recover what we have lost in the first half. We are seeing the transfer to be completed by Q3 in 2025. On the guidance, nothing specific. We confirm the mid-high single-digit growth versus the previous year, and because we are expecting to recover a nice ramp up in the second half in the whole blood, plus we have the price increase in all the medtech that is impacted by the tariffs. We have the adjusted EBITDA still confirmed at 150-250 bips, including tariffs, and leverage ratio around 2.2, including the impact of the buyback that we activated 1 month ago.
I believe that this is all, and so now we can move to the Q&A to give you more detail on any views that you may have on the first half. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To enter the queue for questions, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen. When announced, please click continue on the pop-up window. If you are connected in audio only, please press star and one on your telephone. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two simple questions, let's say. One is, we know that you don't disclose the delta perimeter impact, but it's fair to assume that in the first half it has been around 4 million euro. And it's also fair to assume that in a full year it could be the net impact, no, including also the netting of the infragroup sales, maybe in the region of 20 million. This is useful for us just to calculate clearly the, let's say, let's call it organic growth. And then I would like to have, as a second question, a sort of feeling on the trading condition which you are experiencing in Q3. Clearly, you have done basically flat sales all in all in the first half, including forex and everything you have done, plus 0.4%. So just to understand what kind of phasing we should expect for the acceleration in the second half, are you already seeing, including forex, including everything, including delta perimeter, an acceleration in the third quarter? Do you expect to see, or is more back-end loaded in the fourth quarter? And then, if I may, also, we know that we should have a margin impact additional in the second half from the closing of the facility in Puerto Rico, no? Which you in the past guided to happen at some point mid-year. I would like to have maybe an update on this, on how it's progressing this item, let's say. Thank you very much.
Okay.
In the first question, I think your number are relatively accurate. I think we can have a couple of more million as total impact for the full year. But I think that you center the point. In the second question, I don't know if you want.
Trading condition about in Q3?
Well, again, as I mentioned before, there are different points that need to be evaluated. The first one is the conclusion of the transfer of all the machine and the starting of our production for what regards the blood division. This is going to happen in Q3 25, so we are expecting to see an acceleration already in Q3 and then the full speed in Q4. For what regards the legacy of the dialysis, again, this is very volatile. It's difficult to predict how it's going. MedTech is running very nicely and is growing very nicely. Life Science is confirming all their results. And safety is also going for quite nicely, and the vision that we have for the second half already in Q3 is very positive. I believe that energy mobility will remain roughly where it is now in terms of revenue. So we are positive already in the Q3, but the blood, the speed of the Q3, it really depends on when we can close this. The closure of Puerto Rico is nearly done. We are still producing few small things, but the plant is, I would say, completely empty. There are just two machines that are remaining in Puerto Rico, and by Q3 that will be completely closed, and so that will bring more profit to the group because we will have less extra cost to managing this plant.
If I may, I want to add one point. How we built our guidance. We need just to replicate in the second half the Q2 performance as for the old perimeter. Very simple. And as on top of that, the whole blood needs to report 4 million euros per month, which is what we have already done between February and May. The only difference between the second half and the first half is that we have lost January
and June.
In June. January because we signed the contract at the 14th or 15th of January, and June because of, okay, we have already explained the disruption. So the guidance is not something extraordinary. It's just the second half and the second quarter in the end.
Thank you.
The next question is from Emanuele Gallazzi of Equita.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for the presentation. I have just two quick questions. The first one is back on your tariff topic. You were mentioning an additional price increase. I think in the first quarter you were guiding for something close to 1.5% price impact. Are you slightly ahead of this? So we should think about an additional price increase related to tariff. And the second one is, when I look at the second quarter results, do they include the full recovery of the Monterrey mold issue in the first quarter? And even for the safety, I think that in the first quarter you were mentioning a shift in order, so the second quarter results include this big order shifted from the first quarter to, I guess, the second quarter.
Okay. So you can start from the last one. On safety, yes. So we have recovered this, but on top, there were in general acceleration. The very good performance of safety in second quarter is not only linked to this recovery of order loss in the first, but is a really also an acceleration of the business. That's why we see, as Marco said, that this performance can be potentially replicated in the second part of the year.
The first question was about the tariffs and pricing. Okay, let me say, in the first half, pricing was 1.3%, very close to our budget. Then, we have already implemented new pricing. The impact is around 30-40 BPS on top of the 1.3%. And this has been implemented to completely offset the impact of the new tariffs, expected equal to 10% for the goods from the EU to the US. So this is what we expected. Now, you know, we could assume 15%, so an extra 5%. Up to now, we have negotiated pricing to offset the 10%. So now our commitment is to implement for the 30-40 BPS. But I cannot exclude on top further pricing. I hope I was clear.
Yeah. And maybe if I can follow up on your guidance, because in the first half you reached a 90 bips margin expansion, and if I look at the low end of the guidance, it clearly implies a material improvement in profitability in the second half, despite, let's say, the top line acceleration should be driven by the M&A contribution, which has a dilutive effect on the profitability side. You clearly mentioned the Puerto Rico, but can you help us understanding a little bit better the moving parts here to have this improvement?
Understood.
May I spend a word? Yeah. What is interesting to understand is that the first half, in terms of margin dilution for the blood division, was the more critical, because we are paying Haemonetics for manufacturing the goods for us during the transition from their plant to our plant. What will happen in the second half is that we will start production, so we will not pay any more Haemonetics to produce for us. So that will bring a nice acceleration on the EBITDA margin.
And further info. Let's say that last year in the second half, our EBITDA margin was around 24%. You probably remember that last year, the first half and the second half, we posted more or less the same EBITDA margin, something close to 24%. In Q3 and Q4, now we are telling you we are going to replicate the second quarter. So it means that if I replicate the second quarter, in the second half I have a 26% adjusted EBITDA versus last year, which was around 24%. So it means that by simply replicating the second quarter, in the second half I have an increase in the EBITDA of around 200 bps, not the 90 bps we posted in the first half. Then, on top of that, Puerto Rico closure is giving us further 50 bps. Okay, because up to June, the difference between July and June, just closing Puerto Rico, it means that we are going to save around 200k euros every month, and these are the main topics. Then of course, don't forget that it's very important for us to increase volumes. So now we are saying we are assuming to have volumes in Q3 and Q4 aligned with Q2 as for the old perimeter, which means that the second half we will see in the second half higher volumes than in the first half, and we are quite sensitive to higher volumes. You remember that if we increase volumes by 1%, we improve our EBITDA margin by 30 bps. But just to keep it very, very short, Emanuele, we need to confirm the second quarter performance in the second half.
Very clear. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think there was a question regarding Monterrey and the production disruption in Monterrey now.
No,
is...
it's okay. It's Monterrey is running smoothly, and so no issue on this side.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Hinderaker of Goldman Sachs.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the presentation. I want to come back maybe just to start off with on the pricing comments. Appreciate that color in terms of the 30, 40 basis points that is, I guess, tariff related. Can I just clarify, is that in the context of the group, and are you able to give a sense for what sort of price levels you're putting through on the perimeter of sales that it affects? I'll start there.
The price increase related to the tariff or the price increase related to the first half?
I think you're saying that the price increase of 30 basis points is relative to combined group sales, if I can clarify correctly, rather than 30 basis points increase in each product you sell in the US.
And you are right. So it was 1.3% ordinary pricing first half, on top around 30 bps just to offset tariffs. You are right. And then the question is,
I will just clarify this point.
If the 30 basis point is applied on the overall group revenues?
No, it's more related to the sales that are hit by the tariffs.
Understood. Thank you. Maybe if I come back on the fourth quarter call last year, we talked a little bit about capital allocation. You've obviously had the extraordinary investment, so to say, in terms of the expansion of your UK China facilities. How do we think about capital allocation going into H2 and beyond across CapEx, but also, I guess, the buyback and dividends? Thank you.
Okay. You mean you would like to have a forecast of the amounts?
Yeah, I suppose the point raised in Q4 specifically was around scope to re-engage on the dividend. Since then, obviously, you've raised your leverage guide for the year and introduced the buyback as a sort of combined decision. Does that imply the dividend decision is maybe delayed? And then just how do we think about the CapEx plans for the business more broadly?
There are at least two questions. Let's say I will answer on the extraordinary CapEx, and I will give the floor to Martin for the dividend.
Yep.
For the extraordinary CapEx, in the second half, you should expect 4 million euros just to complete the move to the new plants in China and the UK. So 4 million euros in the second half just for UK and China. And then we are done with the extra capex for the new plants. On top of that, you can expect no more than 3 million extra capex for the acquisition, because we are moving machinery from Haemonetics plant to our plant. So extra capex around 7 million is a safe assumption for the second half, and that's it. Then the question was also about buyback and dividend.
Yeah, the intention is still to release dividend by the end of the year. Of course, we will see how and how much and how during the course of the second half. But right now, we are still positive in distributing dividend by the end of the year.
And buyback.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora of Mediobanca.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon to everybody. I have four questions, so in some cases are follow-up. So I will start with your whole blood business. I understood that now you basically solved the disruption you had in the past month. Can you comment a little bit on the, let's say, commercial opportunity you see here, because clearly, you know, you are, let's say, now adjusting your production internally. So when you comment that you have a good portfolio, if we need, let's say, to look a little bit ahead, how do you see this business evolving? No, you mentioned that in theory, if everything goes fine, you could basically, you know, release 4 million sales per month. So, okay, 4 million sales times 12, let's take it out to 1 month, okay, for holidays. But the point is, can you give us an idea of, commercially speaking, how do you see this business? Are you approaching new clients? And what is the general feedback, okay, on all that? That's the first question. Thanks.
The feeling is super positive. Consider that this year, we are still impacted by the huge stock that Haemonetics have produced in all the customers. So our sales are really at the minimum level. All the customers are very positive. They're very happy that we enter and we revitalize this business. The product are confirmed as the best in class in this market. So no, the view is super positive. My expectation for 26 are very nice. And then we are already negotiating some potential big deal. But again, now I want to keep the focus in transferring everything. So, and having the production under control, that is the most critical point, because we'll cut cost and will give us the possibility to speed up as we like in serving this market.
Okay, thanks. Then the second question is, you mentioned during the presentation the fact that we have this contract manufacturing, okay, an heritage from Emotronic deal. The question is, first of all, how big is it, this business today for you? Because you mentioned a decline of 5 million last year, and again, another decline in this first half. So can you give us an idea of the size of this business today?
In the first half of 2025, it counted for 12 million euro. And it's down like 30% from the first half of 2024, when it was 17.
Yeah, the point is that these lines are quite expensive, each single line, and so the fluctuation in quantity is affecting the revenue quite, impacting the revenue in quite a big manner. But in terms of marginality, they are null, so not really important for us. And this is why you might see this fluctuation in revenue, but you see that we are keep improving our profit quarter after quarter, because this revenue are really not important in the sense of the profit and the margin of the company. That's why we are working on it, on our strategic plan to see what to do and how to manage this heritage, inheritance that we had from this acquisition.
Okay, thanks. And just a follow-up also on this, your strategic action you are, let's say, assessing for next year. Are there any thoughts you can, let's say, do also on the energy and mobility business? I remember that in the past, we discussed about, let's say, any possible option, for this business for you?
Yeah, we are working also on this. These are the two big, let's say, point that we are analyzing in our strategic plan, and we are evaluating all the option and all the possibility. And we will, let's say, I believe we will have something public by next beginning of next year, and where we will tell you what we want to do with this two
area. Okay, thanks. And then the last question is on the health and safety. No, so basically, I heard Guido mentioning this almost 14% organic growth in Q2. When you say we expect, let's say, kind of continuation of this trend in the second part, are you referring, let's say, to the the high single digit first half trend, or let's say this low double digit? And on top of, let's say, of this indication, considering the acceleration you had, but also your confidence in having a second half pretty strong. Can you give us an idea of the underlying trend? Is it still, let's say, only the U.S. markets? Is it a matter of new products or maybe also other countries on top of, let's say, U.S. contributing to this trend? Thanks.
Consider that we have launched the full face mask basically at the beginning of the year. So it's full speed in the second half. Plus, we have one mask that has been designed to be worn on the Asian country, and so we are expecting to have a nice return from this product. So there are, apart from the market itself, there are nice new entry into the business that are keeping us excited. But I will anyway stay on the high single digit grow as forecasted.
Okay. Thanks for the answer.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side of your screen or press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please click on the Q&A icon on the left side or press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Excellent. Thank you very much to everybody for participating in our presentation. See you at the next quarter, and have a nice summer to everybody.